Buzzsprout. I knew I could trust you to solve my puzzle. Unfortunately, if you're watching this tape, then it means that I must be dead. It'll be obvious to you by now that there was more to my life than just boardrooms and business deals. Things that I couldn't tell you about before. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to burn all my research on the Himiko project. Just burn all of it, the notebooks, the tapes, everything. It's very important. If it falls into the wrong hands, then it could be catastrophic, so please do it straight away. I know you hate being told what to do, but please promise me that. I hope you never have to see this tape. But if you do, you found my secret calling.
Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider. Okay, we are talking about Tomb Raider, the movie. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'll be your host. Joining me today is my fellow Smirk co-host, who's also doing, I think, the Gaming Outsider with Scott. And he's coming by because he's the ultimate fan that I know of Tomb Raider, Zach Parkerson.
Thanks for having me, Aaron. You'd be hard-pressed to find too many bigger fans of Tomb Raider.
I agree. We both love it. Love it. Love it. Where do you stand before we get into the new version with Alicia Vikander?
That's good. Great pronunciation.
What do you think? We're just going to jump into it. Just be candid. These are going to be some spoilery reactions, but I want to know what you think of the original two films with Angelina Jolie and her really oversized breasts that were completely unnecessary.
Just terrible. If you go back, terrible effects too when she does like the changing scene where she like looks back to the camera. Mm-hmm. It's just very obviously fake boobs.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It was weird. It was weird.
The first movie was fun, dumb, and it was okay. The second movie, rotten. Rotten film. And it had Gerard Butler in it.
Should that be a better thing? Does that mean that it should be better? I don't know which way you're going with that one.
Gerard Butler's great.
Okay. He can go either way. It really depends on who you're talking to.
I feel like you quote him pretty often, Aaron. This is Sparta.
This is true. You know? I'm a fan. I'm just saying a lot of people not necessarily are.
I love him. Did you like the first two Tomb Raider films?
I think Angelina Jolie, I thought, was a great choice.
Uh-huh.
Breast augmentation aside. fake augmentation. I mean, she didn't need it, so I'll never understand why that was necessary. But whatever.
To make it more like the game,
yeah. But that was a dumb thing. Whatever, I guess. Please, fanboys. Whatever.
Very 90s.
Yeah, sure. But she was great. I thought she was a perfectly cast Lara Croft. To be fair, script wise, the story was weak. I mean, it kind of followed the games at that time. But it was really kind of cheesy. And I think it was Simon West, who was a solid action director, I guess. But his set pieces were all cheesy and goofy. And I think he did Con Air. I think that's all you need to know about Tomb Raider.
I will interject. The plots of the movies are wholly original from the games.
Are they?
Or those first two. Yeah, they've got like nothing to do. Lara is pretty similar. Angelina Jolie was a good Lara of that period. But the movie's plots were all their original doing.
Now, don't you think if she – now, we're not really on this movie yet, but if she was in this script, she would be perfect for it. You know, her at that time, obviously not now, but her at that time, she would rock it. Do you think?
You think Angelina is this version of Lara Croft, this like grittier
– I think she could do it, yeah. You don't think so?
I feel maybe the image of Angelina Jolie as a star is too burned into my head, but I feel like she's almost larger, too large for life.
Well, her bosoms were, yeah.
Sure.
I might be fixated on this.
She was really good at the over-cocky, quippy Lara, but this new Lara is quite a bit different.
Yeah, I mean, she's starting from scratch. So you were, just to paraphrase, you were a fan of the original film, not the sequel at all. But this, you agree, this is a new interpretation. Now, when the game came out, the reboot of the game, can you tell, because you're well invested in the game world in terms of Tomb Raider. For fans that people that are film fans that don't know anything about games, what were the differences between the original series and what they did with the recent reboot, which happened in 2011, I want to say, somewhere around
March 2013.
Hey, I was just a couple years off.
Close enough. So the directors of the game, when they were pitching the reboot, used the marketing term, we've Nolanized her. So if you think the differences between, say, Batman and Robin to Batman Begins, it's not that far off. Because the games are always over the top, larger than life, magic, spells, tombs of danger. And then when they rebooted it, it was a real scrappy youngster with an angsty background, you know, parental troubles. And it was a slow story of her building herself up to the character you know.
Hmm. And it was a really stripped down version, too. I mean, she was not the and I hate to keep bringing this up, but for people that don't realize, the breasts were some stupid thing with the original games to where she was always ridiculously over enhanced in the breast area. So in this version, this modern version, she looks like a human woman. She doesn't look ridiculous.
She does. Yeah. The marketing for all the old games was always her scantily clad or in a towel or like, oh, you can't peek before you play or some stupid marketing like that. They've really pulled away from that and are treating her like a human being these days.
Wasn't there one game where there's actually a way you could unlock her getting undressed or something?
Oh, common misconception. That's an old wives' tale, Aaron. Oh. As an old gamer talk. No, in fact, I think Eidos at the time was pursuing legal action against people who were modding the game to make her naked because it was such a big deal. The nude raiders, as it were.
So you tried. That's what I'm getting.
Well, of course. It was really funny. I think it was an old GamePro magazine, which is an old gaming magazine in the 90s. They printed a cheat code that was see Lara Croft naked, but really the cheat code exploded her. So it would kill you where you were in the game.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which was hilarious.
That's fantastic. Well, like you said, this reboot of the games really reestablished her as a human woman, as a real character, as somebody that could be broken down and build herself back up, which is essentially what happens in this movie, where she is taken, for the most part, it's the same story. I mean, she's independent daughter. Her dad is missing. She doesn't know where he is. And then she is going to sign the death papers, basically, because Anna, who's played by Kristen Scott Thomas, right? She wants her to sign the papers acknowledging that her dad is dead so then things can move forward. And then she gets a puzzle box, which leads her on a quest to find her dad, leads to the island, which leads to all kind of chaos. Now, if you've seen the movie, which at this point you should have seen it to get to this point. So we're not
going to... Uh-oh, spoilers.
Uh-oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So how close, just to start, was this story to that reboot of the game? To my recollection, it was fairly close.
Well, Aaron, there's a lot of minutia, okay?
Okay.
So, well, whereas the old movies had little to do with the plots of the original games, this is actually, it's pretty close. Her dad was... I mean, spoilers, he's not dead in this movie. Mm-hmm. In the game, he was super dead. Super, super dead.
Right, I remember buried that.
Dead. So her motivation's a little bit different because in the movie, she just wants to, she's in a quest to find her dad who she still thinks is alive, whereas in the games, it was more of like a following in the footsteps kind of deal. But for the most part, the big beats are similar. There's even a few action scenes in the movie that are taken straight out of the game, which was pretty cool to see. But they've changed most of the cast. I think Lara is the only character from the first Tomb Raider reboot game who made it over to the movie, actually. Except, oh, I'm sorry, Matthias was the only other one. So they did change a lot, but in the broad strokes, most of what they changed, I was actually okay with in terms of trying to condense a 12-hour story into 2 hours.
So let's start with the big question. Alicia Vikander, or Alicia Vikander. However, I want to say I want to say like three different accents. I don't know why.
Yeah, I want to Americanize it. Just be like Alicia Vikander.
I like it. Yeah. That's probably exactly how you'd say it too. Wife to Michael Fassbender. I'm sure that's not true. Preferred. Yeah, she's married to Michael Fassbender. Some
beautiful babies coming out of those two.
I know, right? And one of them can move metal with their mind.
Yeah, one of them knows how to pick a good video game movie to be in. The other does not.
That'd be fun for them to debate. Hey, mine did well. How'd yours do?
I don't want to talk about it. I was trying to make art.
All right, so her, as Lara Croft, the iconic Lara Croft, the reinvented Lara Croft, did she nail it? Was she just good? Was she average? Or did she fail for you?
So I was definitely cautious because the trailers, well, the first trailer was rotten, made the movie look terrible. Mm-hmm. And I was already a little wishy-washy on Alicia, just because if you remember, years ago, we did a Hoes After Dark episode where we were pitching our video game movies. Mm-hmm. And my pitch was a Tomb Raider movie. And I wanted them just to use the actress from the game because I think she's Camilla Luddington. I think it's the best Lara Croft still. However, as soon as the bike courier stuff was starting, I was sold on Alicia as Lara. She had a lot of wit to her that I appreciated.
Yeah, I'll be the first to. This was very much a Heath Ledger situation for me, where when they first announced her casting, I pretty much went, grabbed my Tomb Raider game and threw it down. You know, it was one of those moments where I'm like, no.
They messed it up. Game over.
Yeah. No. And it's nothing against her. I actually am a big fan of hers. I think she does great dramatic work. Ex Machina is one of my favorite movies of the last few years. But Lara Croft is not that character. So I'm just sitting there from the work that I had seen her do, where she's very dry, very dour. I did not see any possibility or indication that she could pull off Lara Croft. So I went into this about as nah as you could get. And she, same thing. By the time the career scene was over, I'm like, okay, I was wrong. I can admit it. I am completely 100% wrong. This actress was way better than I ever gave her credit for.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like they did her a disservice by the scenes they showed in the trailer. It would just like intercut with like her scene of like with Walton Goggins. What do you know about my father? And it was just kind of like intense and weird out of context.
Yeah, they did a real disservice to everybody that worked on this movie with the first trailer.
The second trailer was certainly better, but neither trailer made me think it was going to be as good as it turned out being.
No, actually, I think they made the movie look cheap or generic or pretty average in the trailer.
They really did, yeah.
It felt like they were just going for the Hunger Games audience and nobody else.
Check it out, a bow and arrow.
Yep. Look, we even got it in the title. See that arrow? Pa-chish, that's pretty badass, right? And that's all they had going for it. They missed so much opportunity. Walton Goggins, we're not going to leave Alicia or Alicia yet, but I just want to say him in the trailer, you get no indication of what his character really is other than, hey, he's the bad guy.
So, yeah, other than, hey, it seems like he sure does know her dad.
Exactly. So at what point throughout the movie were you 100% sold? Like this is a great Lara Croft.
I think as soon as.
Oh, really? Right. I mean, I admit it. I jumped the hurdle, but it took a while before I was 100% invested. You got that? Yeah, right?
I was on board for her version of Lara. Even before she met Lou Ren, like she was dealing with those kids and just like put that kid in a headlock and yeah, I was sold.
So what about her character's arc in this, the overall arc? Because you had one major issue with the movie, and we've got other characters we can talk about. But before we get into them, you had one major issue with the movie, and what was that issue?
So after Lara goes through this first hour of this legitimately great film at the time, she goes through this painful process of taking her first life, and it looks dramatic. And you're like, wow, they're really showing you that this is not super easy for her. Mm-hmm. And then she looks up and, oh my God, hey, check it out. Her dad's okay. All is well.
Okay. Okay. Now I get what your frustrations were. All right. That works. That makes sense.
It was so goofy in the context. I was like, oh, come on. It's like, hey, actually, you know what? Murder brings people back to life. Isn't that pretty sweet? It was like a weird juxtaposition.
A life for a life.
I guess, yeah. Check it out. You murder a bad guy, you get a good guy back.
I like it. Yeah, that's like the games. That's not how it works. I just got a life back. Boom.
Check it out. One up. Yeah, the dad stuff, it ended up not being as terrible as I thought, but when she was talking to her dad in that cave, I was like, should I just leave? Like, is this the caliber of writing I could expect from the rest of this film?
Now, do you think that's a factor because you know in all the other games her dad was always dead?
It was so obvious. It felt so generic, and it was just such a stretch. I understand her father went to Yamatai, but the idea that he's just been hiding out on it for 7 years, leading these breadcrumb trails in the wrong direction. He's looking pretty good, too, considering the time that's passed.
Yeah, I don't know. Once the beard stopped growing, you know?
I don't think it had to do with the fact that her dad died in the game. And the dad storyline in the game, I think, is a little more interesting. But, yeah, I don't think that played a part. I think it was just goofy.
See, when you first told me about, you know, I groaned audibly or whatever at the dad scene, I just assumed you meant because they were reconnected. I did have a problem with that, the placement of the scene, because I thought that was a really powerful moment she had when she kills her first bad guy, and you can see it's obviously taking a toll, which they did this in the game too. So that was a great nod to the game, as well as a really well-performed scene where she looks like she's 100% troubled and bothered by this. And then Alan Parrish from Jumanji is over there in the woods just hanging out. So that was a little reference for you. Look it up, kids. And it bothered me. Yeah, that part bothered me. I did not think that was a good move on their part.
I'm sorry I missed out on your Alan Parrish joke. You want to redo that?
No, it's good. That part bugged me. I wasn't really bothered by, I wasn't bothered by the reveal that the dad was still alive, because I kind of thought that's where they were going. I don't know why. I just, the whole, I'm not going to sign it because I don't know if he's dead and everything else, that to me said, well, maybe he's going to turn up to not be dead. And that would be a twist on the game to kind of give you a surprise that you wouldn't expect. So that's kind of why I thought, I could see it happening. It's just the moment where it was placed was bad.
Yeah, it was real bad. I'm glad, you know, it just bugged me for a while, but it ended up being okay. He blew himself up. It was all was well.
He did. All right. So Walton Goggins, I'm a huge fan. I often say he's the greatest current character actor working today. To me, he's the best one since Gene Hackman retired.
Wow.
I firmly believe that. I know he doesn't get, well, I mean, I would have said Kevin Spacey was up there, but obviously you can't say him no more. So Walton Goggins, congratulations. Yeah,
you might want to bleep that name out there.
I know you're not allowed to say it anymore. I understand. But I love him. Absolutely love him. His work on Justified, Hateful Eight, and myriad of other, S.H.I.E.L.D., a bunch of other stuff. He's just a great actor. I'm curious what you thought of him as the bad guy in this movie.
Loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Walton Goggins from Justified. It's kind of the only thing I've really seen him in besides The Hateful Eight, but that movie ended poorly.
What?
What? The movie ended poorly.
I'm just going to pretend like you didn't say anything.
All right. It was good until then. Walton Goggins, terrific at what he does. You're right that he's a character actor. He seems to be playing a pretty specific role when he's cast in these movies. But man, is he good at it. You just love watching the guy work. He chews that scenery like the best of them.
Well, I think what I love most about his role here is, you're a Justified fan as well as you saw him in Hateful Eight. He has a tendency to, I don't know if it's the way it's written or just the way he performs it, where he starts small and he'll get broader. And then at some point, it'll almost be a manic performance where he's just, you know, almost like a preacher running the town. Oh, Lord, here we go. You know, it's like a very loud and audacious kind of. It builds to that. He didn't do that at all here. It's very restrained, very calculated, and kind of unique for what he's done in the past. I really loved the slow, just desperate. He seemed like a guy who just didn't give a damn anymore. He just wanted to get home and see his girl. Yeah,
in fact, I'm like, I was starting to feel for the guy. I was like, hey, let's just let him take the weapon, get home. You know, who cares? It's a finger. Come on now.
It's just one finger.
Guy just wants to see his kids.
Guy just wants a finger. What's the problem?
Yeah, as far as villain motivations go, I mean, I know he was shooting down slave workers left and right, but otherwise, Richard got to see his kid again. That's not fair.
That's true.
Did you and you liked Matthias?
I did. I Like I said, I'm pleasantly surprised. I really love the restrained performance. It felt like a real character. He wasn't over the top. It wasn't outlandish. You know, there wasn't, I mean, and every time he did something to drive forward, it really felt like that would be what the character would do in that moment, not something stupid. You know, there was no moment where he's letting Laura live for 64 hours longer than she should.
Because, yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because he had to monologue.
He had to tell her his dastardly plan.
Mm-hmm. Hold still. Here it comes. Here's what I'm going to do. Very simple. He had a simple method and a simple motivation. That's it. I thought that was really, really mm-hmm. strong.
He just comes across as a desperate man doing desperate things.
He did. And I've got a couple other people. Daniel Wu is Lu Ren. Did you like this character?
I liked him a lot. I felt like he was a little underutilized. Yeah, he was very charming.
He's on Into the Badlands. You ever see that show?
I watched about two episodes of it.
Yep, that's about what I watch. But he's good in it.
He is. Yeah, he's very good. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
It's just he kind of vanished from the back half of the film. They were walking very slowly towards the cave.
They're cautious.
Yeah, something.
When it comes down to it, they're cautious. It was kind of. I'm glad he never became the guy that saves her, because Lara Croft is very much a character where I think you do her a disservice if you have somebody save her. You know, she's the hero. That's really what it is.
I was really worried that when she was fighting Matthias and he had her pinned to the ground, that was going to be the surprise reveal of all those guys coming and shooting him and saving her or something, which would have been very disappointing.
Yes, I would have been very bummed. Kristen Scott Thomas as Anna Miller. Now, you and I both knew as soon as the movie started, Anna's bad.
Right.
So,
because that's when the second reboot came.
Correct. How did you feel about that? Because you got to sit in the audience and not let it know. Oh, I know something.
I did. I kind of, when she's like, "Hi, Anna," I did get a little giddy in my chair. I was excited because I knew they were. I assumed they were not going to try to pay off Anna in this movie, so it seemed like they were planting the seeds for a potential sequel, and I got excited about it, which they definitely paid off by the end of this film with that tease that she's behind Trinity.
Absolutely. Oh, so good.
I liked it. Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
It was very, very cool. Very cool. Just the fact that, and at the very end, you know, I don't know about the little additional scene. I think that should have been like an end, like after credit scene almost.
The dual pistol scene?
Yeah, probably. Or maybe just a little further away, because I think they ended it really strong with when she's putting it all together, she gets it, and then she says, "And jobs to do." I love that. Her delivery was spot on. It was perfect. A little smirk, you know, it was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the dual pistols, I mean, they put the title up first before it, I guess. At least a little bit of a break.
Well, yeah, but usually you would get like directed by and starring and a couple other things before you jump right into that little after the credits thing. And there was like no buffer really other than the title card.
They probably know people don't stick, unless there's a superhero in it, nobody's sticking through the credits.
They're just like, "We got to do this super fast. Let's go. We need those guns, man."
Can't risk people not sticking around.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I don't need the dual guns. I know that's an iconic thing with Lara Croft, but yeah.
It could play off into nothing. Even the first game ended with a pretty obvious dual pistol shot that went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a nod to people. Are there huge fans of the original movies that they're like hearkening back to though?
I can't imagine that they would. They really care?
Right. It's just, she looked very Angelina Jolie to me with the French braid and the dual pistols that looked exactly like the pistols from the first movie, the first set of movies.
I think it was actually. I think
it just felt a little bit like, oh, you know, all you big Tomb Raider fans out there has been waiting for the next movie, which I don't think exists.
Maybe Brad Pitt. I mean, he's just like, "Don't wait, so I'm going to see her and my kids." It's the third Tomb Raider movie. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's possible. I was not looking that closely to make that distinction. So,
just thinking.
I think I know where they went. Our dads.
To the bottom of the sea?
They were headed to an uninhabited island. Somewhere off the coast of Japan. It used to be called Yamatai.
There's at least 6,000 islands off the coast of Japan. Hardly any of them are populated.
Well, I have a map. Now all I need to do is to figure out what these are. I think these are coordinates. The location.
They're clock hands.
They're not clock hands. Definitely not clock hands. They are clock hands. That's the one.
That's right in the middle of the Devil's Sea. You might as well tie a stone to your foot and jump off the boat now.
It'll be an adventure.
Death is not an adventure.
Okay, so that's the characters. We got that covered. What about the overall plot? Now, it does stray a bit from the game. I don't think that really matters to me personally, but it does to you. So, better or for worse, the overall story in the movie.
No, the overall plot, it really didn't bother me. It is kind of nicely subverted expectations if you're a fan of the game with the Himiko stuff by making her not mystical, because in the game she's just straight up controlling the weather and keeping people on the island, which is cool, because if you were a fan of the game coming into this, Matthias, when he's speaking about, like, it's hard to get here, it's even harder to leave, pretty immediately you think about, or at least I did, think about the game and how Himiko, she controls storms and keeps everybody, if anyone tries to leave, she just strikes down the ship and keeps them inland. So it felt like a cool, not like it was foreshadowing something seeming specifically to subvert your expectations as a fan, which was really cool. And then she just turned out to be a diseased zombie thing.
I love that twist.
You like that? That she was,
wait, was that crypt? That felt like hesitation on your part. Yeah.
No, it just, really, I don't know. I don't want to like super compare it to video games throughout this whole thing, but it is the plot twist of the first Uncharted game, which felt a little funny because this is Tomb Raider and Uncharted are pretty similar plot wise.
Maybe they're taking it back.
Maybe.
Tomb Raider's like, it's no, we get it first, Uncharted. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it was really cool with the army of handmaidens, and then it turns out that was just kind of a red herring type ordeal.
I really like that twist. Honestly, I'd forgotten about the Uncharted twist, so you're right, because that was forever ago when I played that game.
Yeah, I think 2007.
Yeah, it's been a while. But I really dug it because it put it in a film that's trying to be grounded. It's trying to be a much more intense thriller as opposed to action spectacle. And in order to achieve that, you can have a level of mysticism and supernatural happenings. But I think if you stuck to what they did in the game, which was, I mean, really would only work in a video game, I think, honestly. I just don't think it'd work it wouldn't work in this particular movie, because I feel like it's too grounded and that would seem too off the rails for most filmgoers. So,
well, that was a pretty common complaint of the first reboot game, because it was grounded and gritty and down to earth up for about 90% of it. And then there was an immortal demigod that you found out was controlling the weather, who is transferring her soul from woman to woman throughout time. It was a bit of a sharp left turn for some people.
Guilty, one of them. Yeah,
I think the movie was wise in avoiding that,
and made it kind of cool, because now you've got this you knew Dad was gonna bite it. Although I don't know why you didn't chop your arm off. Haven't you ever watched Walking Dead, Dad? Well, I guess not. He's been on that one.
Coral,
Coral. But I dug that. I really liked that the finger played an extra part in the ending.
That was so cool. Shove that bad boy right in his mouth.
And little punch to make him bite it and ouch.
Yeah, she could have had a better last line, but otherwise it was pretty sweet.
I do think the line was weak.
Yeah, you mess with the wrong family. I thought she was going to, because they keep referencing this, I'm not this kind of Croft, I'm not that type of Croft. I thought it was going to be a Croft-related line. I was mistaken.
You know, whenever they have those last lines before the villain is, you know, methodically mutilated or whatever, shouldn't there be a room that people have where they hold a big meeting and say, guys, this is going to be the last moment of our movie that people remember. What's going to be the line? Hey, you messed with the wrong family. Didn't they do that in Fast and Furious or something?
Yeah, the little Dominic Toretto guys.
Yeah. You'd think there'd be a that's one thing where I'm like, studios need committees for the big movie lines. Like, come on, let's all agree that that's clever, that's witty. Let's not just throw it out there and hope it sticks.
Yeah,
it's just kind of lame.
Also, the action in this movie I thought was really good. A lot of cool action scenes. A little choppy for my liking, but the plane scene was fun.
That was intense.
That was intense. Yeah, that was That was really cool. And I even liked the scene that looked like it was going to be super goofy from the trailer, where she's dodging the traps in the tomb, like the spiky bars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, she uses it to kill that guy that was chasing her.
Love
that. I even thought that was super cool.
There were a couple moments where she was running through the woods where the CGI was a little wanky, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, it really stood out.
Wanky, wonky, whatever the word is. It just, you know, just, yeah, you're on a green screen. We know. You're not in the jungle. Jungles don't look like this.
Mm-hmm.
But when it got to that, I mean, the whole escape scene, which, hey, good on Daniel Wu for helping her out. Nice job, guy.
Eventually.
Yeah, of course. Maybe next time a little bit more heads up, because the poor thing just sit there and go, wait, do I escape now? I mean, what just happened? But I love the moment because it went to the fact that they're selling the concept of we're seizing an opportunity. You know, usually you see all this stuff coming. It doesn't happen so quick and matter-of-factly. And I did like that, but it was kind of abrupt.
Yeah. The second action scene in the camp where she like sneaks in was really cool. Mm-hmm. The sneaking part, but then it felt like the pacing in that section of the movie kind of felt weird, because she bailed on her dad, goes to a guerrilla strike on Matthias, who then just shows up at the door to the temple with her dad anyway. Like it all felt like it was happening very quickly in that part of the movie.
Very quickly. They did kind of leap. I mean, all of a sudden, dad, you know what? I'm going to go. I got to take care of this. So I got this.
Yeah. Haven't seen you in 7 years. Surprise, you're alive. I'm going to sprint across this island, save everybody. And then your dumb ass is going to go to the front door
and hang out there and just wait. That part was, yeah. I will say that was probably my only real big problem with the movie, is I felt like that leap from we're hanging out in the cave to we got to go there immediately happened too fast. I feel like they needed like one more scene or something.
I agree.
Yeah.
Listen, it's very simple. If you don't sign the papers, then everything your father worked for will be sold off. Not just the company, but Croft Manor also. Can you imagine how he would feel if you lost the house? Lara, your father's gone. But you can pick up where he left off. It's in your blood.
I'm sorry. I'm just not that kind of Croft.
What are your overall thoughts of this particular film? Now that we've talked about pretty much every major plot point and whatnot, is there anything that you take away from it? Like, where does it stand for you? If $10 is the full price for Mission and that whole deal, what do you rate it as opposed to the game, as just a movie? How do you sum it up?
I would say it was a lot of fun. And I try not to be too stringent about adaptations. They did change a lot from the game, but they kept the important things that you wanted. There was the arc of Lara from scared girl who she couldn't even hold her own in the fight at the beginning of the movie, to by the end, she's buying dual pistols out of the back of a shop. Very illegal. So she's really transitioned. The dad stuff definitely slowed it down for me. There's some weird pacing after that. But overall, I thought it was a lot of fun. And I could not believe that Alicia Vikander, by the end of the movie, I was like, yeah, let's do another one of these with her. So I would say overall, full price of admission, probably about $750,
$8. That's about right where I'm at, $750. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty close to $8, but it's probably solid $750. Great origin film.
I kind of want to give it the Walton Goggins bump up to $8.
You know, he does deserve it.
That's what I'm saying.
He does. I do like, you know what? If it puts him in more movies, $8. Yep.
Great. We have a consensus.
I'm good with that. And I want to say, you know, the one thing I was mostly expecting walking in this, because I knew the story, because the story is based on the game. And in the game, you know, there is quite a length of progression before you actually start doing anything. So I figured this is going to be just like that, because I knew it's kind of an origin story. The first hour is going to be all talky-talky, nothing really happening, right? The movie, I thought, moved at a blistering pace all the way through that to the island. The bike race scene, which I thought for sure would be cheesy once it started, I thought was great. The boat crash scene, I thought was great. The chase on the docks, I thought was, I mean, they were all intense and well constructed and also very grounded. None of it got, you know, where are the wires? You know, it was none of that insanity. There was nothing hyper realized. There's nothing comic booky about it. It all felt like things that would happen.
It felt like the action movies that we don't get anymore.
Yes.
So a little bit more of humans doing human things. Even the Bond movies, you know, start to get ridiculous.
If there were one missed opportunity in this movie for mm-hmm. you, what would it be?
Daniel Wu's character.
What would you
need? It felt like once they got to the island, he was just disappeared. Because I really liked him. I thought he was charming. And then he had this storyline with his dad that seemed like it was going to be a bigger deal. Other than he gets there, he's like, well, it turns out he was a pretty great guy. And that was just kind of it.
I've been drinking for nothing for years.
Yeah, I've been drinking 7 years. I didn't understand my dad. Well, it turns out he died for everyone. So he was pretty cool. Just felt like they could have done more with him. Because once she's fighting in the tomb, it's really, he's like, I'm going to wait for her. And then for the 30 minutes she's in the tomb, he's just walking towards the tomb.
That's true.
So it was a little weird.
He's a very slow walker.
Yeah.
Well, my big missed opportunity, this is not a lie. This is exactly all I thought for at least 5 minutes after the scene happened. They finally get down to the tomb into, what was, I can't remember her name. How do you say?
Himiko?
Thank you. Himiko. Okay. They get down to the tomb and they're at the casket and they're getting ready to lift, you know, pry the lid off, right? So they can mm-hmm. see little diseased leper lady. And as they're standing there, all I kept thinking was, nobody's going to make a Raiders of the Lost Ark joke. Nobody. Not one reference like, hey, you know, are you sure we should do this? Because people's faces melt. You know, something like that. Just any nod to Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because if ever there was an opportunity, that was the scene.
Right. Even the Mummy, I believe, referenced it when they cracked open Imhotep's tomb.
Because you should. It should be
illegal. You got to pay respect to your forebears.
Damn right. Lara Croft, you come from that cloth. So.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. I think that would be the biggest missed opportunity for me. I like that the Raiders of the Lost Ark being referenced was yours. But the one mistake was the dad stuff being handled poorly. But by the end, I didn't mind it as much. So next time I see the movie, it won't bother me.
How would you have done it different? Would you have just kept him dead?
I would have.
Yeah?
Because in the game, it's kind of cool. He killed himself. And they set it up to make you think it's a murder. And then, spoilers for a five-year-old game, then it turns out that he just killed himself because they got to him too much.
You know, I had forgotten that. That actually probably would be a little bit more powerful.
It was cool. She was searching for more meaning, and it turns out like it really was just the pressure. Hmm. You know, it was cool. It was a nice subversion because always when the protagonist is looking for the conspiracy theory about, oh, they obviously staged it, they murdered him, and then to find out by the end that, well, actually, they killed himself. It was really cool.
Good call. All right. I'm siding with you a little bit, but I did like the Alan Parrish look. I really did. Big fan of Jumanji.
Roar Ulfog has seen Jumanji once or twice.
So last question, do you want sequels? And if you do, what do you want them to do in the next one?
Oh boy, do I want a sequel. That's definitely my biggest takeaway is I want to see Alicia Vikander do this again. And with the subtle, well, not subtle, the very obvious Anna reveal at the end of the movie, they go make a very cool, you know, race against time for some blah, blah, blah artifact, her and Anna. With a shared history, this very personal connection, but now they're on opposite sides of the war. I think it could be pretty cool.
All right. I definitely want there to be a sequel. I know it's got to make the bank, but I don't know if it's going to be there because I don't, you know, I Black Panther's owning the box office. I don't know if Tomb Raider's going to take its chunk, but hopefully it'll do well internationally.
If you know, short anecdote, we went on opening night, first showing in the city of Chicago, and There were, I think, 5 or 6 tickets bought by the time we got there at 6:45, 15 minutes before the show.
Oh.
Like there were empty seats in the theater on the first showing in the third biggest city in America.
That's not a good sign.
No, that is not a good sign.
Man, that's too bad. This is one I really, really, really want a sequel to.
And I agree. And it couldn't have been a super big budget. So I hope that they don't have sky-high expectations. This could be a fun action franchise, kind of like the Jack and Reacher movies, even, you know, kind of like it's kind of more mid-tier action movies that we just don't get anymore.
If we could get Lara Croft to pair up with Jack Reacher, I'd watch the hell out of that.
That would be great.
I would watch the hell out of that.
Never go back.
If they did a new sequel, though, I would want them to kind of follow suit with the next game, Rise of the Tomb Raider. It kind of follows progression. So why not, right?
Yeah, I feel like they, with the Anna stuff and whatnot, I think they brought enough of Rise into this movie to where I'd like to see him do. It would be fun to see her go to Siberia, I guess.
See, I think that would be a cool movie to have.
Yeah, that would be a cool
movie. At least half of it in the snow and the other half maybe in caves and whatnot.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely agree. I would want Lou Ren to come back as her like sidekick.
Love interest? Yes, no?
No, just sidekick.
Okay.
Yeah. Lara's never really. I guess she did in that first movie, didn't she, with Daniel Craig?
Oh, yeah. She's all over him.
Yeah. But I don't think Lara doesn't need a man. In the games, they were doing some pretty big allusions to her being into her friend Sam, but that she's not even in this movie, so oh well.
I think she's the kind of character that's very sexually ambiguous.
Yeah, and I don't think she's too busy, you know?
A lot of tombs.
A lot of tombs to be chasing.
Ain't got time for action. You know what I mean? Gotta crack the next one.
Oh boy.
Plus I don't know how you'd have sex with those bosoms, man. It's so absurd.
Well, those ones, yeah.
Those are ridiculous. How do you get in the tomb? There's so many tight spots. There's no way she can get in there. It's just, it's physically impossible. Okay, well, that's going to do it for our spoiler cast for Tomb Raider. I hope you guys, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie and you just wanted to get our thoughts on it and also be spoiled at the entirety of the movie, that's up to you. But I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Zach even said he's a big fan and he went in with reservations too. So, hopefully word of mouth will help this movie out a little bit.
I think it seems to be. The reaction online seems to be like don't believe the harsh critics, you know?
Critics, man. There's a couple that really capture the spirit of it, and I've already read a few that like, what movie did you see? Because that didn't happen.
Right. Yeah, there are a couple of reviews calling it boring. I don't know what movie you saw.
I was never bored.
Yeah, I agree. Especially the first hour. Nonstop.
Yep. All right. Well, if you haven't seen it, go see it. If you did see it, tell your friends about it. Hopefully more people will see it. And also share this podcast because we're available in every podcast app you have, as well as Spotify. Or you can go to the website at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Thank you, everybody, for checking this out. And Zach, where can people find you and all your podcastings and whatever else you do?
Oh, you can find me over at, you guys are familiar with Scott. Scott's The Gaming Outsider. I'm a host over there now, right for the website. But obviously, more importantly, download Smirk, people. Great show. Very original, we swear.
No, we don't.
I will.
Yeah, he does
listen,
in his head.
Listen to Smirk. It's a lot of fun. Creative writing podcast. We get to discuss all sorts of different topics, societal issues, the weather, whatever anybody wants to talk about. Ghosts, you know.
Make you scream like the night you died.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. And there are not a lot of things similar to it, I don't think.
No, there's not. So check that out as well. Yeah, I'm going to second what he said. Smirk.
Smirk, you say. Tell me more.
You know what? Go listen. It's fun. It's short, too. It's not like a normal Hollywood Outsider episode. Man, it is short. So yeah. It's 30 minutes and you're out. It's just like you can get a pizza in less time and it'll take longer. Mm-hmm. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Remember, the next time you head to the theater to see Tomb Raider again, because you got to get them sequels, so you got to keep buying tickets, buy popcorn. We'll be right back.